Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. And this is Father's Day weekend. I want to just right off the bat, wish all of the, wish all of the fathers out there a happy Father's Day. It is one of the holidays that often gets overlooked and joked upon because there are a lot of fathers who do not participate as fathers. There's also a lot of children out there who grew up without fathers. And that's tough. That's a tough hurdle. It's a societal hurdle. I don't exactly know how we fix it other than men out there need to be a little less selfish and a little more involved. I say that, and I was, I guess my children would say, obnoxiously in their lives. And I guess it's because of my generation. I am of the Generation X. I watched an interesting conversation about the changes of generations that we are dealing with now in the workforce. They talked about the greatest generation, the generation who were in World War II, and how they went through tremendous hardships and pulled through the other side as seen as one of the greatest generations of America by a lot of people's standards. And they had a hard life. They went through the Depression. They went to war. They decided in life that these hardships were not going to define them, and they pushed forward. And many of them came home and they had a lot of children, and those children maybe didn't get parented very well, but they ended up in a good time period to be a kid because they had some freedoms and they had some opportunities, and technology moved forward in a way that allowed the baby boomer generation to then become the reapers of the benefits of time. Things happened. Computers were invented. Technology got big. And because of that, because of the opportunities of education and the fact that they went after it, their tenacity to go after this education, watching their parents struggle with very minimal education, they realized that, oh, this has really worked out for me. And another baby boomer generation, the Generation X, was born. And Generation X let's just face it, their parents were a little selfish, okay? They were concerned about them. And Generation X, there's a lot of discussion about latchkey kids and them trying to figure things out on their own and trying to do the best they can. And listen, every generation just does the best they can. They do the best with the knowledge that they've been given, and they try. And along the way, mistakes are made. We all make mistakes, right? I am not impervious to that. I have made mistakes. I make mistakes every single day. My mom, being of an interesting byproduct of the greatest generation, being a baby boomer herself and raising me to be a Gen Xer, tried her best. God bless her. You know, we all do the best we can, right? Now, saying that, there's a lot of discussion about the fact that in the workforce, my generation is now considered some of the older, more senior at work. And how do you interact and help millennials? The millennials are the byproduct of the X generation. So the X generation, being left alone a lot, told to figure it out. When we had children, our mindset was, I am always going to be present. So much so that I want you annoyed by me to be there. And we're going to not only figure this out, but we're going to figure it out together. And by doing that, in a way, our generation sort of stifled the millennials. Because while we were excited to find out the information and we thought we were helping the next generation, our mindset was, oh my God, I can't believe this worked. Did you believe this worked? This worked. Holy cow, we figured it out. We worked it. But also, there was a mindset of, well, I've seen you screw it up, and I don't want you to screw it up, and I want to help you. This is one less thing you have to worry about, because my parents didn't worry about this part, but you know, this is something that I can help you do, so I'm going to do it. And we made ourselves a little bit crazy doing all of the extra things. we also made you crazy. Now, that's just one factor of one idea that I heard from a guy talking. Okay. I just listened, or I am listening to Robert Kennedy Jr. talk on Joe Rogan's podcast that came out this week. And it's disturbing to know facts. You know, we all talk about how we want to know if aliens are real. And then when the government comes out and says, yeah, we think they're the aliens, you're like, I knew it. But also, holy crap, right? We also say that we want to know who killed JFK, even though all of us pretty much know that the CIA was involved. Our own government killed the president because he wanted to deregulate them. And they probably worked with the mafia to make it happen. And we all say we want to know the truth. And the movie line just keeps coming back. You can't handle the truth. Robert Kennedy Jr. is in a very unique position. He is running for president, but his conversations are all fact-based because he says he's tired of people lying. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He's just telling people what he thinks and what he's learned and what he knows. And there's no angle. Like, a lot of politicians have an angle. They have buddies on the inside, and they gotta make sure that they give you the buzzword that you want to hear. Hope, change. Every president runs on some kind of platform of hope or change or make America great. All these things about the idea that we're going to change, that we're going to get better. And then every year, do we get better? Does government change anything, or do you change things? Do I change things? That's the challenge. I like listening to Joe interview smart people. I think that most people will not listen to Robert Kennedy Jr., especially the people who need to listen to him will not listen to him. It appears that through this conversation, I've learned that at pretty much every platform that he goes to speak on, whoever lets him talk eventually gets pressure to have their episode pulled. Because of financial reasons. Joe is in the unique opportunity of not caring about those financial reasons because he has plenty of money. And he basically, from my understanding, told Spotify, if you pull this episode, I'm pulling my contract. This is a deal breaker. You let this episode air, you let it live. And I could be wrong, but that's the angle that I heard. So, listen to it. I highly recommend all of my healthcare professional friends and family listen to this episode. I've reposted it on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and anywhere I could find a place to repost it. I think everybody should listen to it. Even if your plan is not to vote for this guy, still listen to the conversation. He talks a lot about our government, the healthcare system, the way our healthcare system works when it comes to immunizations, how maybe the anti-vaxxers aren't crazy because we've all bought into the narrative that people who don't want to cure polio must be crazy. But then you hear about the toxic levels of mercury that are added to so many of these vaccines that end up causing just horrific side effects and death rates and birth defects. And it's pretty terrifying. So, yeah. Anyway, back to Father's Day. Let's talk about Father's Day. I'm a father. Okay. I'm a grandfather. I'm a grandson. I'm a son. I'm all the things, you know, the circle of life thing. I'm lucky in the fact that, at my age, I'm 49 now. My dad is still alive. My wife's biological dad has passed away, but her pa, who basically moved into her life when she was young and has stood in as her dad, is still alive and kicking and part of our life. And you know, we've bonded with these people, and we've healed wounds that happened when we were young. And my wife got to do the same thing with her real dad, and you know, there was, everybody makes mistakes and hopefully you can learn from it and grow from it. But I realized that being a parent is one of those things that does not have a definition or a guideline. People write books all the time saying, this is how you parent the situation. I know, because I wrote a book. And if you go to any online source to look up these books, you'll find an endless supply of people saying, no, listen, they're wrong. Listen to me. I know what's going on with children. This is what you got to do. And that sounds great. Listen, you want to be prepared, right? You want to have a plan. But meanwhile, you're giving money to a lot of people who are just figuring it out just like everybody else. So I don't know that a book is going to be the fix. Does it hurt to constantly learn? No, it doesn't hurt. Might you have a specific situation that you don't know about how to handle and someone wrote a book about it? Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. But also don't misplace people's ideas for being fact, because it's not. You know, Mike Tyson, the famous boxer, he said, you can have the perfect plan and all of that gets thrown out of the window the minute you get punched in the face. And sometimes life, when you try to, you know, have a plan for something, life has a way of punching you in the face once in a while, and you have to figure out, okay, well, I thought I was going to do this, but this, I guess this is what we're going to do. And you roll with the punches. And I don't know why I'm using the punching reference as a thing, but that's how it feels as a parent sometimes. You try and you try and you try, and sometimes you trying doesn't work out. Sometimes you try something different. You go, well, that didn't work. Let me switch gears. Let me approach this from a different angle. My wife and I had two sons. She had one. We raised our kids together, and we tried different things with each one, and not one parenting style worked with all three. I don't know that any of them actually worked. You know, when my youngest graduated from high school, his mom said to me, hey, we did it. And I was like, what did we do? We carted him back and forth to school, and we got onto him about their grades, and we helped them do projects at the last second when they came to us and was like, oh, this is due tomorrow. I said, but what did we really do? This is the easiest time of their life. All we did was basically keep them alive for this period of time. The hardest part is the next part. The hardest part is being an adult. The hardest part is going, oh, well, now I have responsibilities. Oh, okay. Now I have to go out and I have to do these things. And when you become a father, if you're choosing to stick around, there's a saying, mama's one day, daddy's maybe, or something like that. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe. Yeah, something like that. I heard that said at church one time. dads need to choose to stick around. There's a lot of responsibility with that. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of pain and suffering and giving. And there's also a lot of joy. There's a lot of satisfaction. There's a lot of pleasure that comes from being active in your kids' lives and seeing them grow. And I think the biggest portion of that is watching your children grow to the point that they take your place, where they have children of their own and they get excited and depressed and all of the feelings about their child. They say that it's better to have grandkids than kids because you're worried to death about your kids all the time. And when you have grandkids, it's way better because you know that they're going to be fine. Everything that you've done, good and bad, has resulted in this grown child that you have, and they're having children. And you know that they're going to worry about that child just as much as you did. But sort of as a grandparent, your responsibilities are different. You're like, I can just be cool with you, and we can just hang out. And I don't care if you don't eat or if you eat nothing but candy, you're going to be fine. Because you're always going to be fine. People are malleable. People are very easy to figure out how to survive on whatever the situation is. if there's a lesson in there, then you teach them the lesson. But also, like, overall, as a grandparent, you're less concerned about, are they going to eat? Are they going to use the restroom? Are they studying? I mean, you help on that sort of thing, but it's just way easier to be a grandparent. It's way more enjoyable. It's not the day-to-day stuff that's going on. It's the, hey, let's hang out and have fun time. And I enjoy that. So anyway, I don't know why I'm rambling about this. I guess because I'm thinking about Father's Day. I'm thinking about all the people in my life who stood up and became father figures in my life. You know, my dad, obviously. He was a mythical creature for a while for me. He wasn't around a bunch because he was an over-the-road truck driver. And I've talked about this before. He had something very traumatic happen to him when he was a young man, and no one treated mental PTSD issues. He didn't know how to deal with it, and he struggled with that for a very long time. I don't think it was until the last 10 years that I actually heard him speak about it. So there was always a question in my mind of, you know, is this Peter Pan syndrome? Is this, I don't want to grow up. I don't want responsibilities. I thought I did, but I don't. Is this running from your past in some way? What, you know, what was the reason for being gone all the time? Is it that he wanted to be part of my life, but my mom was such a force that he felt it was best just to stay away and let her handle everything? Was it a generational thing of having a 70s kid where most dads, if they got divorced, just didn't hang around because it was the baby boomer generation of, I care about me and all me and just me? I don't know. I think it's a combination of everything. We are not easily defined. None of us are. We all have complex issues going on. We all have things that are important to us. But then I had a stepdad for a while named Dave, and Dave tried. Dave was around. Dave, I learned a lot from Dave. More things about what not to do than what to do. But I did learn a lot of interaction things that you should learn amongst other people, and especially amongst men, how to talk to one another. Firm handshake, eye contact, speak when spoken to, follow through with what you say you're going to do. These are some core things that I learned from Dave. And it has proven to help me in my life. But I learned a lot of what not to do also. And sometimes the things we learn not to do are more powerful than the things we learn to do. And, you know, I met my wife, I met her pa, Bignall, and, met her biological father, Sammy, and I learned something from both of these men. And, Sammy's no longer with us, but Bignall is, and he and I are still, I guess, in a way, learning from each other. We had some time together recently where he came up and he had some truck issues, and I was able to help him. And it wasn't just me helping him. He helped me too, in little ways. I don't think he realizes that he helps me. Some of the conversations that we have are they're very interesting because he's constantly trying to learn about himself, learn about the world, learn about politics, learn about religion, learn about how it's all intertwined. He's honest about his own mistakes. And that honesty is important because too often people are delusional about their position in life and they don't take ownership. And he doesn't have any fronts when it comes to that. He is open and honest about, you know, this is my past. This is what I chose. And I was young and I was an idiot and I learned. That's kind of the conversation we want everybody to have, right? I mean, doesn't matter who it is, but especially if we're listening for advice from somebody, we're going, well, first of all, just admit that you don't have the answers and you're just winging this the best you can. And then I'll listen to you because then I trust you because then you're being honest. I mean, my stepdad came into my life when I was in the Marine Corps. And Dan has been a part of my life. God, was it been 25 years? 25 years, yeah. So I've learned a lot from Dan. One of the biggest things that I've learned from Dan is how to have patience in situations where you want to not have patience. How to think about an issue and debate an issue and find a better answer sometimes. look for more than one answer in any situation. Dan has a naturally inquisitive mind where he wants to learn and he wants to know. And, you know, he comes from a byproduct of his family as well. He's at times socially awkward because he doesn't know the right social cues of how to interact with people sometimes. And it comes across sometimes abrasive because people are like, I can't believe he just said that. And it's like, well, you can if you know who he is. And he's trying. He's constantly trying to learn. He's constantly trying to be better. And, you know, it's what else do you want? You know, from life, what else do you want? None of us have any answers. None. I don't. I have made a ton of mistakes. I called my mom one time when I disciplined my kids, and I said, I'm upset over something. And she was like, okay. I said, I had to discipline a situation today, and there's a thin line sometimes between child abuse and being a parent. And I worry that I'm close to that line. And it was an issue where I had to spank one of my kids, and I let anger take over. And it wasn't unwarranted. I felt like that at the time I was doing the right thing. I felt like I had to break a cycle that was created before I was home from the Marine Corps. When they spent 6 months here with their mom, and she, I don't know what she did. I got phone calls from her mom and a bunch of people saying, you got to come home and take care of these boys. They need you here. This is not good. It's one thing when you hear from your parents, it's a different thing when you hear from your ex-wife's parents. So anyway, I handled the situation poorly. And ironically, it fixed the problem, but probably created more problems. And, you know, if my kid's listening, I'm sorry. I had a temper, and I don't think I handled it well. But I tried something. Now, I didn't beat my kids so that they had bruises and crap. And I spanked them. I spanked them. And I felt like at a certain point, I spanked them and I was angry. And in my mind, I kept thinking, I don't want to spank them the way that I was spanked with my stepdad growing up. Where anger took over. I wanted to talk about the situation, let them understand why they're getting in trouble, and that a spanking is a negative reinforcement for the situation of, if I do this, it's going to come with the repercussions because, you know, a spanking could mean hey, I'm trying to save you from further hurt down the road by hurting you? I mean, that's the craziest thought. And I've heard parents talk about spanking, about how it's abuse and how they don't want to do it. And I get that. I get that. But in life, you're going to learn positive and negative reinforcements in life. Do you want to have a child that grows up that never gets spanked at home, who's always talked to and allowed to cry nonstop for nothing, or to hurt other people or other children, or to misbehave on purpose just because they want attention and you're not able to diffuse the situation by a stern voice, because a stern voice doesn't have any repercussions behind it? The flip side of that is they get out in the real world, they say something to somebody that doesn't like it, and they get punched in the mouth. I had a conversation with somebody this week who said, a lot of guys understand how to talk to one another because we've either punched someone or we've been punched in the face. And once you've had that happen, you go, I learned a lesson from that. That's not good. You know, so I don't know what the right thing is. I just want to say happy Father's Day. We're all just trying to figure this out, right? Last night I went to a venue and had a burger and was sitting outside on a park bench. It was a nice, pretty day. And a family sat next to us, cute little family with two little kids. And one of the kids just decided at a certain point he was just going to whine for the next, 30 plus minutes. And he was sitting at the table right next to me. And he kept on and he kept on and he kept on and he kept on. And his mom and dad were just like, hey, buddy, it's okay. You can calm down. I can't go down. And it just, the volume and the nonstop whining. I was thinking, listen, he's tired. Take him home. Quit doing this. But also, tell him to knock it off. I mean, I did the math really quickly in my head and I thought, okay, here's two parents who might have grown up spanked as kids, and now they're going, we're going to have kids and we're not going to spank them. We're just going to talk to them. And it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I thought, okay, well, this is one of those situations I'd be like, listen, if you don't knock it out, we're going to leave here, you know. But also there's weirdly a repercussion behind it. There's weirdly a, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to spank you because I'm going to give you something to cry for. I mean, that was the joke we heard as kids, right? It was true, but it was one of those jokes we heard as kids because it was done to us. If my kids did that in public, I'd be like, hey, knock it off. And they'd be like, okay. Is that the right thing? I don't know. They grew up to be adults that moved to Arizona. So was it the right thing? Is that the cause of it? I don't know. So to my kids, if you're out there listening, I love you more than you know. There was not one second of one day that I didn't think, am I doing the right thing? And at every time, the answer is always no. I don't know if my parents feel that way. I don't know if they think about it. I'm pretty sure my mom thinks about it because she calls me once in a while and she's like, so I didn't handle that well years ago. And I'm like, what? Things I've forgotten about. Listen, mom, you get a pass, okay? For everything, you get a pass. You took a hard bullet and kept pushing forward. If my mom could be the symbol, if her life could be a symbol, it would be that image of D-Day where the people are on the tank boats and the ramp drops down and she runs out and gets shot at the entire time while she's got a hold of me going, come on, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. So if you guys knew the things that my mom did to make sure that I was okay over the years, the efforts that she put through, the time that she spent, even though she was working over 40 hours in 3 days and going to school full time and trying to trying to keep push forward. My mom deserves a happy Father's Day as well. So to all the fathers and to my mom, happy Father's Day. I love you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you all continue to do. Even if it's little conversations, little phone calls, little, hey, I got this idea. Or answering the phone at crazy times when I'm awake and I say, hey, I've got a question. And you answer my question or you try to help me find the answer. It all matters. To all the dads out there, it matters. Do the extra thing. Do that thing that's going to help your kid. It adds up. I heard somebody say one time, the purpose in life is to learn something, learn to do something really, really well, and then teach someone else to do it. And then at some point in your life, learn the right time to get out of the way. And that's sort of a lesson for humanity. You're a child. At some point, you're taught how to be an adult and to have kids and how to raise kids. And at a certain point, your kids are going to have kids. And you realize at a certain point, it's your time to get out of the way and let them do what they do. There's a lesson in that for everything. So tomorrow's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again. I hope everybody gets their father to grill them something nice for Father's Day. That's sort of the joke around work. Hey, this weekend's Father's Day. What are you cooking for the family? I asked my wife the same thing. I said, what do you want to eat for Father's Day? I'll cook it. And she's like, no, we got this Marley spoon. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Cool, I ain't got to cook. To all the fathers in my life, thank you. I appreciate every moment. It has not gone unnoticed and revered. And hopefully I can learn from those lessons and learn to be better and learn to teach others to be better. So y'all take care. Go check out Joe Rogan's interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. And if you're looking for something really heartfelt, I'm watching Ted Lasso's recent season. It's pretty good. So y'all take care. And as always, please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. If you want to have a conversation about parenting and what's the right thing and the wrong thing and what to do and all that fun stuff. And if you want to be on the podcast and talk about any of this, let me know. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.